There you go. Thank you. Did you ever do a job where you thought you were wasting your time? First job I ever had, I was parking cars in the Kentucky State Fair. And for the first few hours, I was just standing there. Just standing there because there's no cars. And then all the cars showed up. And they probably could have parked just fine without me, but I was directing cars to park. And then they all parked. And then I was there the rest of the day in the hot Kentucky sun all day long, just standing there. Sometimes it would rain. Sometimes it would just be hot. And I wasn't doing anything. So that was my introduction to the toil of labor. A lot of jobs are like that. Seems like a lot of what you do is kind of pointless. But most of the time when we're doing a job, we can kind of see the point of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and it seems to be productive on one level or another. I've kind of taken it on myself at home to do the dishes. I try to do the dishes. I don't always do the dishes, but most of the time I do. And it seems kind of pointless at times because no matter how often you do the dishes, the next day you got to do the dishes again. It just keeps happening over and over again. And you might be tempted to think that that's kind of pointless because, you know, you're just going to have to do it again. But it has to be done. It needs to be done because the next day when you want to eat off of clean dishes and there are no clean dishes, then you kind of see the point, you know. Somebody's got to wash the dishes so that you'll have clean dishes to eat off of next time you eat. So it's not pointless. It's necessary. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 that our labor is not in vain. I want to talk about that passage for a few moments tonight. If you want to, you can open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. This passage that a lot of people memorize and really like because it makes a really excellent point. It actually makes several good points, and so we're going to talk about this verse tonight. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Work. Work, Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we struggle with, why am I doing this? Why do I go to church? Why do I study my Bible? Why do I sing? Why do I pray? Why do I try to live a godly life? A lot of people don't. And you hear this from people. You hear it from a lot of people more than you used to. You're just wasting your time. Let's talk about this for a few moments tonight. Paul says that our labor is not in vain. And in vain means empty or pointless or futile. Point to it, doesn't matter. There's a lot of things that are vain in this life. A lot of things that are pointless and futile, and there's no point to them. It doesn't matter. But is our labor in the Lord one of those things? No. First of all, you notice Paul starts out by saying, well, there's my picture. I always have to have a picture. Those guys, they might suspect that their labor is in vain. There's no point to it. There is a point to it. It's whatever got them there. That's what the point of it is. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel our labor is in vain. But Paul says, therefore. Therefore. And any time you see a verse that starts out, therefore, all that means is in light of all the stuff I just said, it always points backward. Whenever you see a therefore, it's a conclusion based on what has been already argued. And what has Paul been talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Well, the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is about one thing. It's about the resurrection. It's about the fact that we're going to be raised from the dead. And because we're going to be raised from the dead, our labor is not in vain. That's Paul's point. And we can just, you know, make this point that this therefore is based on our life to come. If all we had was this life, and when this life is over with, there ain't no more, if that were true, then our labor in the Lord would be in vain. It would be pointless. It would be futile. But so would all of our other labor. All labor would be in vain. All labor would be pointless. All of our striving, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, it would all be for nothing. All of it. But especially so our labor in the Lord. And Paul makes that point earlier in the chapter. He said if we only hope in Christ in this life, then you know we are above all men to be pitied, but all men are to be pitied if there is no afterlife. All of us are living a futile, pointless, meaningless existence. It's all destined for oblivion. All of it. All the strivings of humanity, all of the building and all of the science, it's all going to come to naught. And even the secular world admits this because we know that the human race will come to an end by what we know of the future of this planet, of the sun. At some point, it will come to naught. And I know that people have aspirations based on science. Oh, we'll travel to other planets and we'll spread out among the stars. Well, all you have to know is a little bit about the difficulty of doing that to understand the extreme unlikelihood of that ever happening. And even on a personal level, it doesn't matter what happens to the human race. I'll be dead, you'll be dead, and it won't matter. It will, for us personally, it will not matter if there is no afterlife. And so we need to understand what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 58. For instance, when he says in verses 16 and 17 of that chapter, if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. You just perished. It's gone. And if you're just gone, what is it for? What is life about? It's really about nothing. I don't believe in Christ and in His resurrection simply because I want there to be something. There are lots of reasons I believe in Christ. But one of the reassuring and hopeful and positive things about being a Christian is that I can see my life as having meaning and purpose. It's going towards somewhere. It's for something. If I didn't have Christ, if I didn't have my faith, there would be points in my life when I would just shrug and say, I don't know why I'm doing this. And not just about my religion, of course. If I didn't have Christ, I wouldn't have any religion. It would just be about life in general. I'd just have to say, I don't know why I'm doing this. But let me tell you why I'm doing it. Look at these words. Right before Paul gets to his conclusion, verse 58, he says this. In verses 52 and 53, he says, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must be clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. He describes that. He talks about our raised form, or the body that we will inhabit. It won't be a physical, earthly, corruptible, weak body. It will be a heavenly body. It will be an eternal body. It will be a body with heavenly glory. You know the most popular movie out today?
No.
I know you don't. I knew you wouldn't know. The Avengers. Biggest box office opening in history. The Avengers. Wouldn't it be great to be an Avenger? To have power, to be a superhero, to be able to fly, to be able to have a powerful body, to do practically miraculous things. Let me tell you something. When we are raised in glory, and we will be, the form that we will have, the power and the glory that we will have personally, you as a Christian, it'll be far beyond anything that you can imagine in some stupid comic book movie. And that's going to happen. That's not fantasy. Reality. That because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That's why our labor is not in vain. We are working towards something that is phenomenal beyond our ability to even imagine. It's going to happen. My beloved brethren, therefore my beloved brethren. And you see, that certainly enters into the picture, doesn't it? Why is our labor not in vain? Because we are brethren. We're brethren. And you got to be a brethren. You got to be a believer. You see, you have to be a believer. This is the reason our labor is not in vain. If you're not a believer, your labor is in vain, my friend. It is pointless. You can accomplish the most amazing things in this life. You can accumulate a vast amount of wealth. You can have fame. You can have some kind of great accomplishment in your life and be noted for it. Make all of the history books. Be in the who's who. Make the papers. You can have monuments built to you. And it'll all be for naught because you will be forgotten. And your accomplishments will be superseded. I love history. I read history all the time. And I read about all kinds of famous people who aren't famous anymore. Nobody remembers them. Nobody, nerds like me read about them, but nobody else. I get on YouTube and I like to watch the history stuff. And as soon as I turn that stuff on, Peg gets up and walks out the room. Because she don't want to hear that stuff. And nobody else does either. But eventually we'll all be forgotten. If this is all there is, if this world is all there is, we will be forgotten. And, you know, how many people make the encyclopedias? Not many. But believers, Christians, God knows who you are. And God will exalt you. And God will elevate you. And God will take you into His glory. And everybody who matters will know who you are. Forever. To be a brother, to be a sister in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. 56 and 57, the two verses right before verse 58. The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been reading about Julius Caesar and his victories. Do you even care who Julius Caesar was and what victories he won against the Belgae and the Gauls and the Britons and the Germanic tribes? Who cares? Who cares who Julius Caesar defeated? But the victory that we win in Jesus Christ, the victory over death and over sin, the victory that God gives us, and it's a victory that is secured in Christ. And in consequence of our faith and our devotion to Christ, and we believe in Jesus, and we serve Him, and we do all of these little things in His service, the little things that we do in the service of Jesus and the victory that He gives us, that will resound throughout eternity. And the celebration that will go on. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and we are beloved, beloved by one another, beloved in God, and we are brethren, and we will be brethren forever and ever and ever. That's how you know your labor is not in vain. But you got to be steadfast. Be steadfast and immovable. You got to hang on. You got to stick it out. You got to keep going. And sometimes, unfortunately, brethren don't. We lose our faith. We weaken in our faith. We get out of duty, and you can't do that. You know your labor is not in vain, so you stick this out. You keep going. Don't give this up. Because if you do, it's all in vain. Paul talks about this. He talks about this with the Galatians. I fear that I've labored over you in vain. He talks about earlier, you know, the fact that you need to hold fast and be steadfast. In the same chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 2, he says, now brothers, I want to remind you, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand, this gospel, you are saved, if, and that's an important word right there, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. Got to be a believer, you got to hold fast, you got to steadfast, immovable. Don't move. Don't change. Don't drift away. Don't step back. Don't fall away. You just keep doing this and keep doing this because you know that if you keep doing this, you know your labor is not in vain. That's important. That's an important part of it. And he says this, always abounding in the work. Always abounding in the work. You know, sometimes our enthusiasm flags and wanes, and perhaps we're not as dedicated as we ought to be, and so we kind of slow down and drift back, and we shouldn't be that way. Always, always abounding in the work. We're keeping our grandson, Jackson, now, and he has a job, and his job is to play. And he plays with enthusiasm. And every time he comes to our house, he knows where the toy's at. And he goes right for the toys, and he drags them out, and he spreads them all over the place, and he just has a ball. Always, always abounding. That's his job. His job is he does. Well, you know, we ought to have that kind of enthusiasm in the work of God, the things that we can do. And the problem so often is that we think, well, you know, what I do, the little things that I do, they aren't really important. Well, I got to tell you, in this verse, Paul's telling you the exact opposite of that. You know, Paul is not writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he doesn't preface it by saying, now I'm really just talking to a few of the important Corinthians. I'm just talking about the couple of guys in the church in Corinth who are really what you do matters. But most of you, you can just kind of ignore this. That's not what Paul says. He writes to brethren, beloved brethren, all brothers, sisters, and those who are maybe leading in the worship service, but also those who are busy about the work of the Lord on a day-to-day basis and the little things that you do, all of you know that your labor, all of you, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It matters what you do. Do it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. All of you. You have to be working. See, in order for your labor not to be in vain, there has to be labor. There has to be something you're doing. If you're not doing anything, that's pretty much the very definition of vain. That's empty. It's pointless. You're not doing anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. I've told you this before about the guy who got fired from his job. And his friend says, why'd you get fired? He said, I don't know. I never did anything. Well, maybe that's the problem. You need to do something. Work. Or else, what's the point of you, you know? work, do stuff. But of course, it has to be the work of God. We're not talking about tiddlywinks here. We're not talking about, you know, throwing rocks in the water. We're talking about the work of the Lord. We're talking about things that matter to the Lord. These are the things that you do, and you know if you do those things are not pointless. Now, there's a lot of things that people do in life that is fairly pointless. I see a lot of people do things that I don't know why they do them. I really don't understand why they do those things. I thought about using a few examples, but I'm afraid I might insult some people, so maybe, maybe I shouldn't. But when you're doing the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord, and our labor in the Lord, man, those things matter. It has to be God's work. We're talking worker, acts of charity, and acts of worship, and acts of encouragement, and acts of devotion, and even the things that we do that we have to do in our lives, like washing the dishes or cleaning the house or taking care of the children or going to work and doing our jobs. All of those things are needful and necessary, and both Christians and non-Christians do those things. So what's the difference between them? Well, when you're a Christian, you know what those things are for. You know their place. You know the function that they serve. And ultimately what they serve is to live a good life, a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And doing all of the mundane things that we do every day is part of the necessity of serving the Lord. But people who don't have the Lord in their life, they don't really know why they're doing those things. I mean, they think that they're doing them because they need to get by. And I understand that. But what's the point of getting by? Well, there's really not any point to it in the end. But for us, there is. And here's another way of looking at this as well. We often think that the reason that we need to do these things, to do acts of kindness and charity and worship and encouragement and devotion, is because of the effect that they have. Because, and certainly that is something that matters to God, if you are kind and charitable and encouraging to someone, it's going to elevate them and draw them into the light. The way Jesus says, let your good works be seen among men so that they may glorify God. And that's certainly the effect that they ought to have. And hopefully that they will have, but they don't always. You know, sometimes we do acts of kindness and charity and encouragement, and they're unappreciated and they're not recognized, and people don't seem to be affected in any way by them, and so we think, well, you know, that was kind of pointless. No, that's not at all the case. Or on the other hand, we think, okay, well, at least what I'm accomplishing here is that I am being saved. And so I do these things because as a consequence of doing them, I'll be saved. And that's not really it either, because, you know, we don't earn our salvation. That's not it. You see, the thing is that when you are in the service of God and you're doing these things, and it is labor, you know, it is sometimes these things take time and they can get a little tedious on occasion and maybe a little more difficult and challenging than we would like for them to be. But when we do them, they may or may not affect people, and they aren't earning our salvation, but they are what we are here for. It's really what life is about. When the flower blooms, the bee may come around or it may not. And the flower isn't necessarily earning anything. It's just being a flower. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's what it's for. It's why God made it. Just being what it is. And in Jesus Christ, as imperfect and as flawed and as messed up as we are sometimes, just doing these things and being these things, in Jesus Christ, in His service, and by the grace of God, we become beautiful. We become what we're meant to be. It's not pointless. It's the point. It is why we're here. And it's a wonderful thing. And you need to know that. You need to think, you know, when I do these things, I may not see the effect. And I understand that I'm not doing it so that God will pay me back. I'm just being who God wants me to be. And there's a point to that. Just being a brother and a sister and being faithful. It's a beautiful thing. And you got to know that. It's just like what we're going to be in heaven. We're just going to be beautiful. We're just going to be in God's glory. We're just going to be in His eternal great. And you know that. You got to know that. Knowing it is part of the point. Be cognizant of it. Think about all of the things that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about how we'll be transformed and changed and enter into God's glory and what we'll be like. And you know that. You know that's what's happening. You know that's why you're doing the things that you're doing now. And you know that's what you're going to be. And knowing all of that, you know your labor is not in vain. You know. It's fantastic. So you be confident. Live your life with joy and contentment and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. It doesn't matter if I have a lot of money or I don't have a lot of money. It doesn't matter if things work out or if this person responds or doesn't respond. It doesn't matter. I know that what I'm doing and the way I'm living my life brings glory to God, and that's my purpose, and it's just going to get better and better. And man. Now, one thing about all of this is that sometimes we say all of these things and it kind of misses the point of this verse. And the point of this verse is the verb. That's the verb right there. And maybe sometimes we miss that. You know, all sentences have a subject and a verb. And in this sentence, the subject is you. In grammar, sometimes the subject understood. They say it's understood. And in sentences that where the verb is an imperative is when somebody tells you to do something, then it's understood that the subject is you. And in this sentence, the subject is you because you're a brother or sister. If you're a Christian, you're a brother or sister. So Paul's talking to you. And the verb is be. This is something you need to be. And what he says is be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then there's this clause. Why? You know, therefore, it's based on what he said before. Be this way because of everything that I said before. And then he says, be this way because you know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. But the subject is you and the verb is be. So be. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know your labor is not in vain. And you know that because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And Jesus Christ has died for your sins. And Jesus Christ can bring you into God's eternal glory by the grace of His blood. And you know that. You know that. So be these things. That's what Paul is saying in this verse. In conclusion, nothing we do for the Lord is a waste of time. In fact, the things we do for the Lord are the only thing in this life that really matters. Everything else is pretty much superfluous and not much point to it. I mean, you just get by. Everything else is just getting by, but getting by.